to Genesis 18. Genesis 18, we're going to read 16 through 33. We see here one of the jobs to which God has commended us, and it's the intercession job. I don't know if you're going through tribulation because you have seen in your neighborhood or your family or in a loved one or in a friend in the same city, the nations, the great risk in which some find themselves, and they have noticed. So that is why the intercession that we can do in their favor to put ourselves on board, it's going to be a determination for the lives of the needy ones. And we are going to see what Abraham did. In Genesis 18:16, it says, "When the men got up to leave, they looked out over Sodom. Now Abraham was walking with them to see them in their way. Then the Lord said, 'Should I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? After all, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will pronounce blessings on one another using his name. I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then the Lord will give Abraham what he promised him.' So the Lord said, 'The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so blatant that I must go down and see if they are as wicked as the outcry suggests. If not, I want to know.' The two men turned and headed toward Sodom, but Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Abraham approached and said, Will you sweep away the godly along with the wicked? What if there are 50 godly people in the city? Will you really wipe it out and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 godly people who are in it? Far be it from you do such a thing, to kill the godly with the wicked, treating the godly and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of the whole earth do what is right?' So the Lord replied, 'If I find in the city of Sodom 50 godly people, I will spare the whole place for their sake.' Then Abraham asked, 'Since I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes, what if there are 5 less than the 50 godly people? Will you destroy the whole city because 5 are lacking?' He replied, 'I will not destroy it if I find 45 there.' Abraham spoke to him again, 'What if 40 are found?' He replied, 'I will not do it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, 'May the Lord not be angry so that I may speak. What if 30 are found there?' He replied, 'I will not do it if I find 30 there.' Abraham said, 'Since I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 are found there?' He replied, 'I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. Finally, Abraham said, 'May the Lord not be angry so that I may speak just once more. What if 10 are found there?' He replied, 'I will not destroy it for the sake of the 10. The Lord went on his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham. Then Abraham returned home. Oh Lord, we ask you that you do the work in our lives that you have planned. What your word says, that we are a nation of priests, that we can intercede and that we can pray for those who are in deep risk and danger. We ask that you help us, that we can work in that specific area. Help us, help me deliver this message in the name of, in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Abraham found himself in a confusion because God had revealed him that he was gonna destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. What do you think the first thought of Abraham was when he knew that? My nephew Lot and his family. And he starts to intercede. Probably you are in the same situation. You notice that there are friends, family members, and the world is in a deep risk, and you are worried. And you say, if the things are not gonna change, this can end up in a difficult thing to assimilate. Believe me, by what the word says, very difficult moments come to this earth, and we have to be alert and aware of the ones that do not have God in their hearts. Those who are living close to, and not only close to, but inside the Sodom and Gomorrah of our times, and they haven't noticed that there's an imminent danger. Be these persons of our family or not, from this nation or from other nations. But it's important that we take action to intercede, and that you and I can do that for the rest of the nations. So because of that worry, I wanna talk to you about the topic, to the rescue of the ones that have not been saved. Lot, living in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was a sentenced nation, a city that it was sentenced, and he didn't know that there was a judgment over that a nation. We see that there's people around doing a lot of activities, but not realizing that the time is close to us. Christ is at the doors. So some think that life is going to smile at them. Everybody was like, oh, okay, we're happy, like the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they haven't noticed that the time was coming. And probably there's people right now that live like that. How the chronometer of God is getting to zero. And that is why that if you and I, as a church of God, have noticed that there's judgment coming, and there's people that are walking in the death way, our responsibility is to go ahead and tell these people, counsel these people, that they have to change. And the first point is that the faith and disbelief is that determining the opposite sides of life and death. Abraham, the faith that he had was transformed into life. But disbelief of the people that were living in Sodom and Gomorrah transformed in a sentence of death. That's why the Bible tells us and motivates us to stay firm in the faith, because only in that is going to give us life. That's why God says, be faithful until death, because I am going to give you the crown of life. Then in this chapter 18, we find two sides, and it's very interesting. The side of Abraham, the faith in God was a resource of life, a fountain of life. Like we know in doctrine and theology, an apparition of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of angel, and there were two other angels there, and there are three men, and one of them was the angel of God, and the other two were the angels, the executor angels of God. And they were there where Abraham was. And the first announcement was an announcement of life. And this is we see here that the announcement to Abraham, it was from now to 1 year, such a waited a child was going to come. Sarah started laughing because she was 90 years old. And she just laughed and said, is it possible that I can give birth to a child? And the Lord saw that Sarah laughed. And he told Abraham and said, your wife has laughed. But Sarah said, no, I haven't laughed. She was scared. And the Lord said, yes. That's why the child that was born was named Isaac, that was, the meaning was laughter. Because she didn't believe that all her illusions as a mom was to zero. And that's where when God says, I can. You cannot, but I can. So here we see that the fountain of life is given to Abraham. Only that we can know the context. Verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1. It says, the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting in the entrance to his tent during the hottest time of the day. Abraham looked and saw three men standing across from him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, my Lord, if I have favor in your sight, do not pass and leave your servant. Let a little water be brought so that you may all wash your feet and rest under the tree. And let me get a bit of blood so that you may refresh yourself since you have passed by our servant's home. After you and may be on our way. All right, he replied, you may do so as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, quick, take three measures of fine flour, knead them, and make bread. Then Abraham ran to the herd and chose a fine tender calf and gave it to a servant, who quickly prepared it. Abraham then took some curds and milk along with the calf that had been prepared and placed the food before them. They ate while he was standing near them under the tree. Then they asked him, where is Sarah's wife? Where is Sarah, your wife? He replied, there, in the tent. One of them said, I will surely return to you when the season comes round again, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Now Sarah was listening to the entrance of the tent, now far behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old and advanced in years. Sarah had long since passed menopause. So Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, after I am worn out, will I have pleasure, especially when my husband is too old? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child when I'm old? Is anything impossible for the Lord? I will return to you when the season comes round again and Sarah will have a son. When you and I have learned how to walk in faith, it doesn't matter the time, but the Lord is going to fulfill his plans in your life. He is going to have a message in your life that he is going to fulfill. And he is announcing life to Abraham because he accepted his spiritual heritage. And this transformed in a terrible blessing, in a tremendous blessing. But we see the opposite in Sodom and Gomorrah. But not only Sodom and Gomorrah, but all the cities around it is going. They were becoming disbelievers. They didn't believe in God because they were together with the ones that didn't believe in God, and they were sharing ideas and concepts. But disbelief and rebellion are the reasons of poverty and condemnation. Sodom and Gomorrah were sentenced because their disbelief took them to such deprivation levels, and Lot was living among them. Here we see a history of lack of firmness of Lot of in faith. How important it is to keep our firmness in faith. In the case of Lot, Abraham did a first rescue when he took him out of Ur. We were rescued from Ur when Jesus Christ came and rescued us, because he rescued us from the spiritual Egypt. But Lot wasn't firm in the truth. Why? Because he went to live near Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham went and rescued him because he was taken prisoner by other kings. So we see here a second rescue of Lot, but he didn't learn the lesson. When God rescues us of something that has not been good to his eyes, the best thing is to stay firm in the liberty of Jesus Christ. But in this case, from the moment that Lot was attentive that Sodom and Gomorrah was a dangerous place, because not only he, but his wife and his children were kind of in danger, this was a chance for him to rectify and to move away from that place. I don't know how many here. God already told you, get out from that condition in which you are. But also, recognize that God liberated you. So this is to be able to say, I move away from whatever is contrary from the will of God. But no, Lot stayed there in Sodom and Gomorrah. That is sad, because he didn't learn the lesson. But then the moment comes of the rescue of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God says, I am going to destroy these two cities. Being in that difficult condition and terrible condition, when the angels come, they were at the doors of the city. Oh, everything was nice. Everything was calm. Then Lot was there sitting. And he didn't notice that in 24 hours, that city was going to suffer judgment. So here, a person that have been decreasing his faith does not have wisdom of the time when he was living. He couldn't smell the danger and the risk that existed around him. The word of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 4, it says, now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains know a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. So, the person that is a Christian living in this faith has a great wisdom of the risk and the danger he's living. Like Abraham, he was close to God. He started interceding and praying because he knew that judgment was coming. But Lot, no. Lot was nice, was nicely walking, was calmed. And he didn't notice that of the enormous risk and danger he was suffering. But that's why Paul says, you are not in darkness. That one who stays firm in faith knows how to notice the terrible times that we are living in. But those who are not in the level of faith that they should be, then the times are going to, that day is going to surprise them like a thief in the night. Then the problem of Lot was, and this is the same problem of many Christians. Instead of growing in the faith, they were the opposite. because they love Sodom and Gomorrah. Do not raise your hands, but who loves to be close to Sodom and Gomorrah? No, Pastor, I am just watching. I am just contemplating. No. Instead of going close to them in prayer, in the search of the presence of the Lord, and going close to them, interceding, we are identifying ourselves in the middle of a modern society where everything is relative, relativism, and everything is vanity. So coming close to that environment, the thing is that it neutralizes my wisdom, and my antennas are not working anymore to perceive that judgment of God, because I am sharing the faith of that people and not praying for them. So the process losing what God has given us, it's a reflection for every one of us. We can lose all the blessings that God has given us. Look at this. When we depend on the faith and on the faith and blessings of others. Oh no, Abraham has blessings and he's my uncle. So, you know, how many say, my father and my mother are praying for me. So, you know, I don't have to pray. I know that my mom is praying for me. So I don't worry. What about if your mom passes away? What about if the other people get tired of praying for you and interceding from you? So Lot, what depending on the faith and the blessings of his uncle Abraham, but he was not depending directly from God. Lot said, "Well, yeah, I'm in the promised land, and I am looking and contemplating what God promised my uncle Abraham, but I love Sodom and Gomorrah. So I am confused between two thoughts." Jesus said, you cannot serve two lords. So when a Christian has lack of determination, either you trust him or you trust what the pleasure and sin can give you. What is your point of support? So in this case of Lot, there was a confusion. And there was a consequence of lack of thankfulness too. Lot was in the promised land because Abraham had taken him there. But we have talked about this before. Abraham, in the first place, shouldn't have taken Lot to the promised land because God commanded him not to take his family. But leave Lot, please, behind. I don't know who Lot is for you, but please leave him behind or her behind. Or leave those Lots behind. So here, instead of thanking Abraham the opportunity that his goods were multiplying and becoming more rich, but instead of thanking him, he said, my uncle is giving me the opportunity of choosing the place where I want to go. And he chose, supposedly, the best place, which was the valley of the Jordan River near Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot never thanked Abraham. When we are unthankful, it's because we are doubting our faith in God. But when we are thankful, it's because we have learned how to believe and trust God. Let's remember that Abraham, in Genesis chapter 13, was an old man, about 85 years old, and he was giving his nephew the opportunity of choosing the best land. Why didn't Lot tell his uncle, hey, choose by yourself. Choose you from me because you are the authority. But you choose instead of me. That would be different. You give me and you choose. But no, he was not considerate. Basically, what he did was to choose the first place he liked and not considering that his uncle was old, and he went to materialism. He ran to materialism. So he was so selfish. If these symptoms are growing in our lives, it's because we are descending to the valley of danger in a condition, a very delicate condition. And he didn't honor the ones that helped him. In this case, Abraham. In any moment, he thanked his uncle, and he looked for his opportunity and not the opportunity of others. So he was so unthankful. And he was trusting his prosperity of appearance. Sodom and Gomorrah. Here I am going to be fruitful. How is it possible that there is people that are losing so many things? That's not only material, but they're losing their peace and their communion with God, and they're losing everything spiritually because they have diminished their faith in God and have moved away in the vanities of this earth. So this took Lot to a position, to a very dangerous position. These symptoms, it meant that he had to be alert. If you are a successful a person, maybe the rest of the world is going to say, oh, I congratulate you, etc. But be careful with the faith. Maybe people around you are going to invite you to drink or invite you to places that are not good under the eyes of God. Do not believe those people. But here, in front of a situation like this one, that faith attracts life and disbelief attracts death. And if a Christian like Lot that started by the testimony of someone, by the preaching of someone else, and to walk in faith, but instead of growing, he diminished his faith. Be careful, because the same consequences can come to you or those who do not know Jesus Christ. So here we see the responsibility of interceding for those who are in mistake. Lot was in a mistake, in a big mistake. But Abraham, what did he do when he saw that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He didn't say, oh, God, that is okay. Good, because he's going to know right now who is God. No, he was deeply, deeply in worry because of the people that lived there. So from verse 16 to 33 that we already read, we see that the character of God, when we grow in faith, in love, and in responsibility for others, when someone starts growing in faith, he grows in love and he grows in responsibility. And we see Abraham being responsible and feeling responsible, not only for Lot, but all the inhabitants of all those cities. Let's remember that in chapter 13, Abraham had a war in there, and he rescued Lot, and he rescued all the cities that were captive. However, the miracle was useless for them. There are people that say, I am not going to believe in God if he doesn't make a miracle. Let me tell you, these people are going to receive a miracle and they are not going to believe anyways. So here, in a moment of crisis, if you and I, in a moment of crisis, of other people, if I do not believe, if I don't grow in love and responsibility towards that person, I haven't grown in faith. No, I believe and I have faith. Remember, if you grow in faith, you grow in love and you grow in responsibility. So, if you are responsible enough, you are going to start interceding like Abraham for all the people that are going to get lost. So he started to walk in faith. The promised land grew in his heart. And he was growing in faith and love and in communion with God. And he started maturing spiritually. And he starts, for example, leaving his rights behind so that others choose their own future. So he gives the opportunity to Lot to decide his benefits. And also for the protection, the restoration of the ones that hurt him. He wanted to protect his nephew. When somebody is in mistake and we want to protect him and restore him, even if it's a person that has harmed us or hurt us more, then if we are responsible and we have love, we have to be interceding for him, because otherwise it's because I am not mature enough in faith. The church has to be responsible for the people that are condemned without Jesus Christ. Why are we believers if we do not go and pray for the people who need that salvation? The change in the life of Abraham started giving because he was in the process of denial of his security for the rescue of others. So Abraham came to danger to rescue Lot, not rescuing himself, risking himself. Now, when Abraham had grown spiritually, the most difficult part comes in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, there was a condemnation sentence for this nation. In the book of Ezekiel 22:30, God wants us, Ezekiel 22:30. It says, I looked for a man from among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. So I had poured my anger on them and destroyed them with the fire of my fury. I hereby repay them for what they have done, declares the sovereign God, Lord. So this is a reflection of being in the truth. When you are in the truth, you feel passion and compassion for the ones that are lost. If I do not feel compassion for those who are without the Lord, I must ask myself if I was born again or not. Because if I do not feel that risk and that pain for that people, for those people that are not going to be saved, we have not felt the experience of being reborn. But if you really and genuinely feel the pain for those people that are lost, then you were born again. So Abraham understood that he had to be an ambassador of God here on earth. And he had to let grow the ministry to bring the light to those people in the name of the Lord. Have you understood and have I understood what our job is, what our mission should be? We have to be collaborators together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the Lord has wants to give us blessings and health and provision, etc., but what He wants is that we understand our role here on earth. We are priests, and the priests in the Old Testament were the ones that were interceding between the nation and the cities and God. Abraham was doing the job of a priest. He was in this moment doing a mission of interceding for those cities. So God reflects us through the life of Abraham. How do we discover our talents? How are we going to discover our responsibility? It's because when the problems come and the threats come of condemnation, there we start feeling anguish and tribulation. So we start praying and we start talking about Christ to them. But some of us have not perceived it, have not smelled it. So judgment are coming and are more intensive. But the problem is that we do not stand praying and do not stand to do what we are commanded to do. Abraham stood up because he understood what was his mission. And that is the formation of a character of intercessor. Not only Abraham, but God, through Abraham, was lifting and raising a nation that it was going to be an intercessor, that was going to be of a blessing to all humankind, because this nation was going to communicate the truth to the world. And through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior, all the one that believed in Him is going to have eternal life. So when Abraham comes up as an intercessor, he comes up of a father that represents the church in Christ the Lord. Because you and I are have a heritage of eternal life from Jesus Christ. So you and I are called to be up there. We are not called to be just having fun around the earth. The Christian is to be in battle, like Aaron was in the camp. Moses told Aaron, put yourself between the dead and the ones that are alive. So Aaron runs, and death stopped. So it is time that you and I, if we know a loved one, a family member, a friend that is in risk and danger, there is a time. This is a time when the church raises and starts praying and interceding for these people to be rescued and saved, come to salvation. Do you believe, look, When the Lord tells Abraham, there is nothing impossible for me. Sarah has laughed. She's wondering if she is going to give a birth or not. But he says, hey, for God there is nothing impossible. So when God does something, He does it good. I want to share something to you. In my first pastoral year, I remember that there was a brother in the church that every Sunday he reconciled with God. And that really made me sad because I thought, I want no reconciliation anymore because he's failing all the time. And he came to the altar every Sunday with a smell to alcohol. He smelled alcohol. I visited him, I don't know how many times. I prayed with him, I talked to him, but I felt frustrated. But once, reading a book, a pastor, he told a similar case, and he took a decision to pray and to fast for that person. And then he prayed for him personally, and then the Lord liberated him from the alcohol chains. So that day, it was Saturday, I am going to fast for this brother. Then I went out to look for him. And then when I came to him, he opened the door. He was with alcoholic breath. And I told him, before anything, I read a psalm to him, and he falls to his knees crying, and I kept on reading until I finished the psalm. And I directed him in a prayer. And the beautiful thing was that on Sunday at night, I did the call for reconciliation, and he didn't stand anymore. He didn't raise his hand anymore. So I said, thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you restored him. And month after month, he didn't reconcile anymore because he was firm in God. And in the future, God called him to his service, and now he is a pastor. If you are looking to some beloved, a loved one, friend, be this a family member, do not forget that you have the power to pray. You have the power to pray and intercede for him or for her. When you are smelling the smell of Sodom and Gomorrah, you come into prayer and fast and do whatever it's necessary. But the elements that came together in the life of Abraham in the intercession, he has come to maturity. The faith, he believed. He came to do a negotiation with God. If there were, he asked him, if there are 50 fair ones, just ones, are you going to destroy it? And then the Lord said, no, I am not going to destroy it. And then he came down to 40, to 30, to 20, to 25. And he started interceding because he believed in the power and the mercy of God. When your faith and combines with the knowledge of the justice of God, then you can intercede for your people. Abraham was trusting the justice of God, that he was not going to be unjust. So he was, God is more interested in saving the sinner, so that you come to an understanding that God can come together with the ones interceding for the ones that are living in the condition in that are in Sodom and Gomorrah from those times. Now the ones who believe come to a tribulation and a desire to intercede for those who are suffering and are going to suffer more if they don't come to repentance. Remember, God is going to evaluate if each case is reversible or not. In verse 18 of chapter 18 of Genesis, 18:18. It says, after Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will pronounce blessings on one another using his name. I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then the Lord will give to Abraham what he promised him. So the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great that their sin so blatant that I must go down and see if they are wicked as the outcry suggests. If not, I want to know. Now, God knows the condition of that person. You can be praying, deeply praying. My responsibility is to claim for those lives. There are cases like Lot's that it was a reversible case. Maybe the majority were not. Those in Sodom and Gomorrah were not reversible cases, but they were irreversible. They could not come back. But if I accept that God is going to do justice for each one of those that I'm praying for, and he knows that it's going to be fruitful or not, but I am going to pray because he's going to be just to these people I'm praying for. So Abraham was warning the people. He was a tremendous intercessor because he was worried that the name of the Lord was not honored and the image was not praised. And in verses 23 and 24, Abraham doesn't give up, never gives up. So God, when God sees people like Abraham that don't give up, then he is going to do big things in our lives. There is hope for the one who believes while there is life. So if Abraham wouldn't have interceded, Lot, his nephew, in this book, Lot wouldn't have been rescued and saved if Abraham would have given up. God can do big things in your life and in the lives of the ones you love. There has to be intercession and help of prayer and fasting and the compassion for people and through teaching of the word. Through the preaching of the gospel, through counseling, when you and I come close to people in that intercession, in counsel, in teaching, in preaching, in compassion, in love, in fasting, in praying, then you come and do whatever is possible for lives. When you come into that dimension, you are coming into the dimension of the heart of God. He is compassionate, and he doesn't want anyone to come to condemnation. When you start praying and crying in God's presence, God knows if that case is possible or not to be rescued. For the one that doesn't have any possibilities because of his obstinate disbelief, you can pray and you do everything possible and there is not going to be any response. We see David praying and fasting for a newborn child for 7 days. When they told him that his child had died, he just stood up, he took a shower, and he started eating. What happens? What happens, David? And David said, he is not going to come to me, but I am going to go to him. There are some cases where God is not going to respond to your prayer. But since I don't know what his will is, and who thinks about the situation, I am going to pray anyways. verse 5 says, God told him because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah and their sin has worsened, I am going to descend and I will see what they have done according to the claim and the cry that has come to me, and I will know. I don't know who was interceding. The Bible doesn't say it. But the cry against Sodom and Gomorrah has come to me. Of whoever had been praying for that, for them. When somebody is being victim of abuse, of lack of injustice, those and starts praying, those prayers have been reserved, and there is going to be a moment when God is going to come. His presence is going to come for the ones who are praying. God is merciful enough. There was a cry in this case. The cry of those people had a response. Even if Abraham said, save that city. And God said, no, this has no solution. Because God, he knows everything. And he knows that there is not going to be a step behind. But however, the prayer had an effect in the family of Lot, who had faith and could be saved. Jesus tells the same thing in John 15. John 15:1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He takes away every branch and does not bear fruit in me. He prunes every branch that bears fruit, so it will bear more fruit. So, can you and I give more fruit still? If he is going to cut on us and garden us, amen for that. So God is going to evaluate if the prayer is going to be answered or not. Because it's not going to work, maybe. Why? In 2 Peter 2:7-9. Here there is something that is not revealed in the book, but the Holy Spirit, like an X-ray, brings out what was happening in the heart of Lot while in Sodom and Gomorrah, it says. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man in anguish over the debauched lifestyle of lawless men, for while he lived among them day after day, the righteous man was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from their trials and to reserve the unrighteous for punishment at the day of judgment. So he was in the middle of a corrupt society. Of course, he shouldn't have been there, but in the middle of that, he was tormenting his soul. He said, I don't want to see this anymore. I don't want to listen to this anymore. So he didn't want to get contaminated. And many Christians nowadays are suffering the same thing. They're in the world, but their souls are tormented for all those things. But those who do not get tormented for those things are lost, can be lost, because they're in risk and danger. But in Lot's case, there was hope still. That is why Abraham's intercession worked out. Now, my brothers and sisters, there comes a moment on the right for the right judgment of God. Now, in chapter 19, the judgment, we are going to see it in two dimensions. God is good, and He is fair, and He is going to rescue the one that still has hope. Chapter 19, 1 and 2, it says, they came, the two angels, to Sodom, and Lot was sitting at the doors. And seeing them, he stood up and received them, and he kneeled towards them. There's sons and daughters of God, but they are in Sodom and Gomorrah, but they still have the Holy Spirit near them. And it encourages them, telling them that there is still hope and answers for them. And here, two angels come and Lot recognizes them, that they were not normal, common men. So he kneels down at them. When there is prayer, the Holy Spirit is still working, even if we don't see it. When we are praying for the nations that do not know about God, God is working. The Holy Spirit is working. Abraham was up the mountains praying, and he didn't know that the two angels were coming, but Lot did, and Lot recognized them. God is working at that moment. The prayer of the nation of the God and the Lord Jesus Christ has power to rescue the ones that are lost. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is still a recognition of the grace of God, and that was what Lot was accepting, because he was tormented, and he didn't want to pass his faith. And God leaves us this for us to understand the condition of Sodom and Gomorrah, and this has to worry us, because Jesus said, just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, that is going to be in the times of the coming of the Lord. So in verse 2 it says, now I pray that you come to the house of your master and wash your feet and stand up and keep walking. And they say, no, we are going to stay on the street. And they entered in the home, and he cooked for them and the bread, and they ate. But before anything happened, the men of the city surrounded the house, the men of Sodom, all the city, from the youngest to the oldest, and they called Lot, and they said, where are the men that came to you tonight? Get them out so that we know them. They wanted to have sexual relationships, intimate relationship with them. And Lot came out and closed the door behind him. And he said, I pray so that you do not do such a bad thing. I have two daughters that are virgins, and I will give them to you, but not these men, because they came to the shadow of my roof. And they said, this stranger came to live among us, and he will decide. Now, we are going to give violence. We are going to do violence against you. So they tried to break the door, and they brought Lot inside with them. What we are seeing here is that Lot, there was not only a recognition of the grace of the Lord, but he was not wanting to to give those angels to the men of the to the bad, evil, wicked men of the city. I will not renounce. I will not give up to my convictions. And he was protecting the angels. How many of us are suffering that? How many of us are protecting our faith from things outside that attack us? This man said, even if I am in Sodom and Gomorrah, I am still believing in God. So he did that God's hand intervened in a very powerful way. So, just like in the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, the city didn't have the same response. Is it because God has favorites? No. It is because they were deeply drowned in sin, and there was no rescue for them. So, God condemns the ones that have no solution because they are so deep in sins. And I am going to give you a couple of signs of how to recognize this. One of the signs of knowing that a person that does not have any going back and any salvation, any opportunity or possibility of salvation, number one is that the person doesn't recognize and doesn't listen to the word of the Lord and the message of the Lord. You want to continue, even if you read, even if you listen to the word, you want to continue doing whatever you're doing. And the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't understand the message of mercy of God in the past. A close past. But they didn't want to rectify their ways. Second, when corruption has gotten to the children as well as adults, verse 4 of chapter 19, as well as young people, old people too. Not only old people were committing sin, but also the youngsters and the children. When corruption gets to that level, basically, it's giving symptoms of cases that cannot go back. And the third signal is when the sexual deviation is generalized and it's no going back. Verse 5 through 9. What happened? They didn't like women anymore. There was no pleasure in women in the natural way, but it was anti-natural. They said, we don't want the ladies. We don't want your daughters. We want the men. And they were violent and they were pushing, wanting to break the door. So when the sexual deviation is generalized and there was no coming back to the natural way, you can tell me, the person was born that way. Let me tell you, this is not a disease. Homosexuality is a sin. So the ones of Sodom and Gomorrah were in that situation. Even if homosexuality, last week in France, homosexual marriage was legalized, and many of them are going to do it, but there is going to be a moment where every nation in the world are going to do it. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah is only going to be a parameter that is going to be reflected in all the nations. And when it is generalized, the day of the coming, of the second coming of the Lord is coming. In Jude 5:7, it says, Jude 5:7. It says salvation can be lost. The words says, and you can interpret it, after destroying to the ones who didn't believe, those who were left in the desert, and the angels that played with their dignity but abandoned their homes, they were in the darkness and in prisons for the judgment of the big day, like Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities, equally with those who were going to sin against nature, were put, like example, suffering the judgment against nature. It's evident. What is natural? What is natural is for natural things. It's not anti-natural. And with all honesty, I love all people without prejudice. We have helped in the church. We have helped a lot of youngsters, boys and girls that have been lesbians and homosexuals. And they have been transformed and changed by God. But that doesn't mean that we are going to give credit to anti-natural things. Why? Because that attracts the judgment of God in us. And this man didn't like women anymore, but they liked men. And there was no going back. When they are not attentive to a judgment and they follow, it says, then the men brought Lot inside them, and to the men that were to the doors of the house, they were hurt by blindness. They were hurt by blindness in such a way that they were tired of looking for the door. They were blind by the angels that were there, but they said, "No, I don't care if I'm blind. What I want is getting this man." So even blind, they were still pushing the doors. They didn't care. They didn't come to repentance. They were not sorry about it, because what they wanted to do is to satisfy their pleasures. So when people do not pay attention to any judgment, we are seeing little windows at what Revelations tell us from chapters 6 to 8. They are falling. Little asteroids are falling from the Argentina. A small meteorite. People say that these things are casual, but people don't care. Even if they see evidence of the judgment of God, they are going to continue practicing sin. So when this happens with abstinence, when these things come to these limits, then the judgment of God comes to earth. I want to tell you this to finish this message. We are in front of a great opportunity of this church of interceding for those who have hope. And you and I are called to pray for them. There's many of them who have been deceived by Sodom and Gomorrah, by the influence of people close to them, by ideologies, by pressures, and they have been walking closer and closer to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're putting in their lives and their families' lives in risk and in danger. there is time that you and I start crying and praying. There is going to come days that there is no hope for us. So if we have life and our families have life and our friends have life, there is still hope. So if it's our city, our family, our group of friends, there is hope for them if we are alive. But the one who doesn't believe and quits believing, he had the opportunity, but he rejects it. But it's not because our irresponsibility, but they have decided to be lost. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus Christ, we are in front of you, asking for your help. I ask you for a miracle. I'm asking for a miracle in the heart of your church. Bring in this instant a deep desire of sharing the good news, of teaching, of preaching, of praying, of fasting for those who are lost in their sin. Oh Lord, in this moment, in the name of Jesus Christ, we put you in your presence, knowing that your will is that nobody gets lost, but all of those are saved. We pray for you for all the cities in our country, the valleys, the cities, far away and close to us. Send your word. Maintain your blessing in our nation and all the nations of the world. Oh Lord, we ask you for Lot, living close to Sodom and Gomorrah, that child of you who walked with you but then went in a different direction. We ask a brother and sister, bring to memory that a family member, that friend, that nephew, that grandparent, oh, the people that are working with you, bring it to your mind right now. Bring him or her to memory and pray for him. Pray for them. And I ask a miracle for this person, that nobody gets lost, but all of us are repentant from our sins. We are united from your grace, and we are alive in your presence. All those who haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, repeat after me. O Lord that are in heavens, I am sorry for all my sins. Cleanse me with your blood. I have done the in your eyes, but I ask for forgiveness for offending you. But from this time on, I open my heart to you and I receive you like my only Savior and my Lord, because I know that you resuscitated to justify me, and you shed your blood for my forgiveness, and in your body you carried all my sins. You paid for them, and I believe this. So I receive the forgiveness for faith. Bless these lives, O Lord. I ask you for the prodigal sons, wherever they are, if he or she is here, or wherever they are, repeat with me, like Lot, I have moved away from your ways. I walked in you and in faith, but I am far away right now. I am sorry. I am sorry, and I am understanding the way that you are tracing me. Forgive me and cleanse me with your blood. Here I am once again in your presence, and I quit my life in Sodom and Gomorrah, and I come close to you with all my heart, and I want to take my cross every day, and I reconcile with you to be together with you, because it is my decision until I die. In Jesus Christ, amen and amen. God bless you, my brothers.